Brother Robert has asked for us to read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. The text begins with the verse, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That verse has often been a challenge to me. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think of those who make professions of faith. I think my own father made a profession of faith when he was young. Yet to my knowledge, he never had an interest in serving his God, never had an interest in doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. What a challenge it is for each one of us. Reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Shall we kneel for prayer? Holy, holy, holy God, in the quietness of this place, we boldly approach your throne of grace, and we thank you. We thank you for the many blessings you've showered upon us. We thank you for your provisions. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all the good things that you've given us. Oh God, our cup runneth over with good things. And each of them are at your hand and from you. And we thank you and we praise your name for it. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together, to join our hearts and our minds and our voices. And we pray that you would prepare us to worship you. We ask that you would help us to approach you this evening in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of submission. We ask that you would create in us this very evening a desire to serve you, to know more about you. We pray that you would help us crucify self and live solely for serving you. Forgive us where we failed you this day, this week. We've said unkind things and thought impure thoughts, and we ask that you would forgive them. We pray for your strength that we might do better tomorrow. We pray for your strength that we would be salt and light, that as people see us, they would look upon us, and we would bring glory to you, and we would be able to glorify you through our words and deeds. We pray now for Brother Robert. We ask that you would bless him with your spirit, your presence. We pray that you would give him a clear mind. Give him boldness to preach what you have laid on his heart. Oh Lord, we think of the many of our number who aren't here, perhaps traveling or at picnics or whatever this evening. And we pray for them. We miss them. And we ask that wherever they are, you would be with them. You would strengthen them. You would uphold them with your spirit. That you would bless them wherever they be and those they are with. Well, God, through this past week, you've been there for us. And we thank you, and we pray for your blessing for this coming week. We thank you for this portion of Scripture, for the challenge it contains for us. Speak boldly. Let your Spirit have free course tonight as it convicts hearts. We thank you for this opportunity of prayer. We thank you especially for the gift of your Son, our Lord, and in whose name we pray. Shall we pray together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We welcome each one tonight. We're just glad that everybody came that did. And we trust that the Lord will bless you for being here. Thank our brother for his prayer. Good prayer. Prayer is an important part of worship. Before we begin, the subject tonight is, where is my foundation? But I'd like to read something I clipped out of our newspaper. I thought was really worth reading to you. Maybe many of you read this. A new nation was born on July 4th, 1776, called America. To gain her independence, a bloody war had been fought against Britain's tyranny. The battle cry was, "No king but King Jesus." 56 men had signed a Declaration of Independence, pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the new country. Her joy was complete when the Constitution was written in 1787. She watched the delegates as they prayed fervently, and the document they produced is still applauded as being almost beyond the scope of dimension of human wisdom. As she grew, America became great and strong under God, and was envied by all the nations of the world. For many years she stood stalwart and proud, and many songs were written about her and the God she loved. She had been told from her birth that it would always be that way as long as he was in control. She began to feel herself weaken and become vulnerable as many Christians became complacent and ungodly people were elected into the government. Then in 1947, America received a crippling blow. The United States Supreme Court made a law that defied all logic. God, the beloved author of truth and righteousness, the one who had made her great, was taken from her. She felt that her heart would break. Soon decisions were made by the Supreme Court to remove Bible reading and prayer from the schools. Depression set in as she realized that generations of children would no longer be taught about her godly birth and the way God had showered her with blessings. Then in 1973, she was introduced to a pro-death culture as abortion was legalized, even though all 50 states and laws against it had laws against it. She shuddered and wept. God's law has once again been trampled by the court's decision that biblical marriage is unfair and must include same-sex couples. Our beloved America is now on life support, suffering with a severe deficiency of the elements necessary for her survival. She can only be saved by massive doses of godliness, truth, morality, and justice as ministered by wise and humble leaders who, under the direct supervision of the great physician, all who love her are requested to pray fervently for her healing. We want to look at this lesson tonight from two perspectives: a much used foundation or a solid foundation. It seems that America is at a crossroads. Which way will she go? Which way will we go? What is our view of the cross? Some questions that we need to think about and answer for ourselves. What does the American flag stand for? Someone has said that the white stands for purity, the blue stands for loyalty, and the red stands for the blood which was spilled by many, as in America, that as America could be the land of the free and the home of the brave. The War of the 1770s was a war of independence from England. We all remember that from history and school. The Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th, which would have been yesterday, not yesterday, years ago, in 1776. Alexis, a French philosopher, visited America when it was still young and marveled at what qualities she possessed to defeat the mighty British army with only a handful of people. He looked for greatness in everything but one. He looked in so many places. Why America was so great. Finally, he visited the churches of America and heard the pulpits aflame with righteousness. And here he found the secret of America's greatness. There's no doubt that God has blessed America. And there's no doubt that we're still a blessed people in America. But sad to say, America is not the same today. We're not worshiping God. We're not fearing God as we ought to. Samuel Smith, writing the song, America, captured what this country used to be. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where our fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. Our Father God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. It seems like some of our forefathers feared God. It wasn't always, like our brother mentioned this morning, it was not always good. I just want to read something that Abraham Lincoln wrote that I read somewhere. We have been the this is what Abraham Lincoln said. And he was a president a long time ago. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. Can you imagine Abe Lincoln saying that? But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deep deceitfulness of our hearts. And all these things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We can already see God being put out of the picture. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Abraham Lincoln. In 1 Timothy 2, we're to pray for our leaders. Abraham Lincoln didn't walk the White House floor, night after night, just to pass the time. But he, like many of our leaders, our presidents, were concerned about the good of America. Some statesmen got together and drew up the Constitution. And the Constitution means little today to many people. So the Bible means very little to many people. When they drew up the Constitution, some laws had to be made, some rules. There was no way but to make some rules or law to keep the country from falling apart. And so also goes the home. So also goes the church. Without any rules, it's chaos. You and I are enjoying the fruits of freedom today. And to us, sometimes we sing to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Gladly? The stars and the stripes should mean something to us, even though we're a non-resistant people. The cross of Christ, I like to compare them a little bit. The songwriter did when he wrote the song, The Statue of Liberty. And then he said that it's Jesus who is our foundation. So the cross of Christ should be of utmost importance to the church, to each one of us. When someone comes out on the Lord's side, he or she needs to know what it is to be a Christian. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. The faith of our fathers has been preserved through dungeon, fire, and sword. And the church, Americans are suffering from a low-grade patriotism today, and the church is not faring much better. Someone has said. Someone penned these words. We Christians need not be isolated from the world, but we need to be insulated from the evils, from the false teachings. We need to be not isolated. We're in the world. We're not of the world. So we need to be insulated against false teaching. Catherine Bates, I think it was, that wrote, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. I fear that many people, and we got to be careful ourselves that we don't rely on the foundation of the government. I believe that today the government has a pretty low, but people, even though they don't say it, they're relying a lot on what the government does, what the government has, what money has. That can be a foundation, but it's not ours. What's our solid foundation? I want to turn to Luke chapter 6. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to whom he is like. He is like a man which build a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And this was back in what our brother read in Matthew chapter 7. And that's why I had him read this. We need to build on the solid rock, and that solid rock, according to the scriptures, would be Christ Jesus. Foundations are important. Without foundations, buildings would crumble and fall apart. Couldn't put much weight on them. So we need a good foundation. We need a good foundation as Christians, that we don't fall along the wayside easily. We will crumble and fall if we don't have a good foundation. I would like to look at, eventually, we want to look at three foundations, but the main foundation that we read about in the scripture would be Jesus Christ, and I think the word itself, which is Jesus Christ, would be a foundation for anybody. The word itself. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than do you yet said? I can't quote the rest of that. But anyhow, we need a firm foundation, ye saints of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But listen to this. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I read this in the Country Magazine not too long ago. This is a little story. A certain farmer was accustomed to reading a Bible at a restaurant. And one day a traveling salesman came in and started giving the farmer a hard time. You don't believe all that stuff, do you? The salesman said, "Why, I sure do. This is the Bible." "Well, how about the fellow who was swallowed by a whale?" "Well, Jonah, that was Jonah. I believe that," he said, the farmer said. "Well," the salesman said, how do you think he survived all that time inside the whale?" "Well," the farmer said, "I don't rightly know, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him." And the salesman said, "What if he doesn't get to heaven?" Then the farmer said, "Then you just ask him." Something to think about. That man, that farmer, had the Bible as his foundation. The Bible is a foundation. We can rely on it, even if we don't understand it all. And the Bible has stood the test of the ages. It's a solid foundation. And the chief cornerstone is Jesus. 1 Peter 1:25. And then in chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Forever. We can trust it forever. It's a solid foundation. 2:6-8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Who do you think that was? That was Jesus. A chief cornerstone. And by the way, we're all lively stones. Building up a spiritual house. Simeon, that man of God who had visited in hope, when he saw Jesus, he took him in his arms and he said, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Luke 2, 29 and 30. Why is Jesus our foundation? Number one, he's the way to heaven. Man is trying to climb up some other way, but Jesus is the only way. He's the foundation of our hope. In Romans 8, 35 to 39, we can really see how Jesus is our hope. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We can look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. The songwriter said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every person take heed how he buildeth thereupon." No other foundation can be laid. We have a wonderful foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel Stone penned these words, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord." Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your faith tonight? G. Campbell relates a story about General Stonewall Jackson. It was necessary one time for him to get his armies and his supplies across a river. He called engineers to build a quick bridge. He called his master, wagon master also, and he was a blacksmith. Now this was to be done as soon as possible. And sensing the urgency, this blacksmith worked with a number of helpers, and he improvised a bridge. Early morning, he called the general and told him, "We have everything safely across the river." The astonished general replied, "But where are the engineers?" "Well, they're in a tent still drawing pictures and planning a bridge." We've never had so many experts sitting around and making how-to plans today. Jesus is not the foundation for a lot of so-called religious activity today. Our brother this morning mentioned some of those things, and I'm not going to tonight. But there's a lot of religious activity. "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." David was a country boy. He arrived at the Israelites' camp. David faced the mighty in the name of the Almighty. He said, you didn't just defy the armies of Israel, but you defy the armies of God. Brothers and sisters, this evening, let's not be afraid of the Goliaths that strut around and laugh at us as Christians. Let's be sure that we have that solid foundation, the Lord Jesus. There's a children's song that really captures this. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings of the Lord will come down. That's good admonition. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings of the Lord will come down. The cross is also, I believe, a foundation that we need to, it's a foundation principle. The way of the cross leads home. The blood that stained the old rugged cross has a cleansing effect. Colossians 1:13 says, in whom we have redemption, and through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 4:7 tells about a soldier of the cross, Tychicus. All my state, Paul said this, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant of the Lord. That sounds like a pretty reliable brother, doesn't it? Those same qualities should be seen in us. A beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant of the Lord. Very reliable person. The word is our foundation, not the American flag. Jesus is our foundation, not America itself and what it has to offer. Our foundation has to be in Jesus. The cross, the blood, is a foundation, not America's standards. Think about that. When we accept the Bible as the final word, foundation, we then accept Jesus and the cross also. And I ask you tonight, who or where is our foundation? There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And that light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, he has shown a light around me that I can clearly see. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, where would this ship be? Where is our foundation tonight? Many years ago, while exploring a museum exhibit, a day in Pompeii, I don't know how many of us probably have read, maybe many of us have read, what happened in the city of Pompeii. I was struck by the repeated theme. Began as an ordinary day. People were going about their daily business in their homes and in their markets. And the port of this Roman town of about 20,000 people. At 8 a.m., a series of small emissions was felt from Mount Vesuvius. In the afternoon, Vesuvius erupted, and many of its people lay buried under a thick layer of volcanic ash. unexpected. Jesus told his followers that he would return on a day when key people were going about their business, sharing meals and having weddings, with no idea what was about to happen. As the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be, the scripture says. The Lord's purpose was to urge the disciples to be watchful and prepared. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man will come at a time when you think not. What surprising joy it would be to welcome our Savior on this day, wouldn't it? If he'd come and take home his children. Where's our foundation? Is it in Jesus?
On October 17th, 1951, a family landed on the shores of this land. Five boys, mother and father, and a grandmother. As the boys looked at the sights and enjoyed the freedoms, they just marveled. And in a youthful tone, they approached their father and said, "Dad, just look what we have here." But their father had witnessed the crumbling and the downfall of his country. And he saw some of the same seeds in this country. And he said, "Boys, it will not always be this way." And the boys just couldn't believe that. And they didn't accept that. And even though some of those boys are gone, those that are left have seen that prediction come true. But I still appreciate this land and this country. And I also appreciate the challenge which our brother gave us this evening. It's a powerful message. And Jesus promised that he's going to come back at a time that we think not. And brothers and sisters, even though we don't know the hour or the day, we certainly know the seasons. And I feel the season is ripe for the Lord's return. Let us therefore be ready, as our brother said, for in such an hour as ye think not. And I'm often reminded about that. We get up in the morning. It's just an ordinary day. We have some tasks to perform. We have some jobs to do. We have some place to go. But do you ever think that this is an ordinary day that the Lord could return? And it will be an ordinary day. Let's stand for prayer.